subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Taxes was waiting around for your taxes to be done, which led to worrying about not getting any money back. Now Taxes is matching with a TurboTax expert who can do your taxes in a day to get you up to $4,000 fast with a refund advance loan. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Expert filing only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Refund advance has $0 loan fees and 0% APR. Refund advance loans may be issued by First Century Bank, N.A. or Web Bank. Terms apply, subject to approval.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Efforts to finalize a Gaza ceasefire and hostage release deal between Israel and Hamas appear to be closer than ever. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan signaled both the Biden administration and President-elect Trump's transition teams are putting on a united front in negotiations.
Sullivan said they are, quote, on the brink of reaching a deal after an aggressive push in recent weeks.
There's a couple of reasons for why this is happening, the biggest one of which is that Israel has achieved its substantial military objectives in Gaza.
Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
Inauguration Day now, 1 week out, President-elect Trump will be sworn into office amid tight security due to what authorities call a heightened threat environment. Fire crews in Los Angeles County racing to contain major wildfires and douse hotspots with hurricane-force winds back in the mix starting tonight. The Eaton and Palisades fires are blamed for at least 24 deaths. This is ABC News. Time Magazine's Athlete of the Year is now the victim of stalking.
The Indiana Fever select Caitlin Clark.
Indiana police say the number one pick in the WNBA draft was forced to alter her public appearances and the places she went for fear that 55-year-old Michael Lewis would be there. Lewis has been charged with felony stalking, sending numerous texts and explicit DMs to Caitlin Clark from his social media accounts. Lewis is from Texas but was arrested in Indianapolis and acknowledged to officers who detained him any relationship he had with Clark was purely imaginary. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
It is considered the biggest gathering on the planet. For the next 6 weeks, Hindu pilgrims will gather at a festival in North India, where more than 400 million people are expected to take a dip at the juncture of three sacred rivers. That is 200 times the number of Muslim pilgrims in Saudi Arabia last year. For Hajj, I'm Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So, you've got an oil change coming up. We can help you save on the right oil for your vehicle. Right now, get 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Full Synthetic or Castrol Edge Full Synthetic High Mileage Motor Oil with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for just $35.99. Visit one of our 6,000 stores or order from AutoZone.com for same-day store pickup or next-day delivery.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Welcome to Staples.
I am so pumped. My business is going to kill it this year.
Awesome. How can I help?
First, a new computer.
With Staples Home and Office Hot Deals, you save big on tech.
And new posters.
Save on custom printing, too.
And
A new chair?
A chair? Who has time to sit?
Maybe all your new clients?
Now you're talking.
With Staples Home and Office Hot Deals, you'll find huge savings on custom prints, storage, chairs, and tech. And now save up to $175 off your print order. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details. Ends 2-1.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayling. Governor Tony Evers declares an energy emergency in Wisconsin.
Evers signed an executive order on Thursday due to challenges with severe weather around the country that has impacted distribution of residential heating fuels, including heating oil and propane. The emergency declaration will allow for a 30-day waiver of certain state and federal hours of service restrictions to allow suppliers to get caught up from weather-related delays. Evers said in a statement that Winter Storm Blair has impacted residents and industries alike across the country. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A Republican member of the State Building Commission wants the UW to track the approximately 60% of College of Engineering students from out of state.
Whether the UW system or UW-Madison could track, given the size of this investment, what percentage of those graduates are living and working in the state of Wisconsin 2 years, 5 years after graduation.
State Senator Andre Jacques said about a third of those students are from outside the U.S. Jacques was a no vote Friday when the seven-member commission voted to give final approval to a new engineering building on the UW-Madison campus. The Philip A. Levy Engineering Center is expected to be ready for classes in fall 2028, with a final cost of more than $419 million. Details are few and far between regarding the death of a 50-year-old Tomahawk man.
The man suffered some sort of chest injury Thursday night and showed shortness of breath before he was rushed to a Lincoln County hospital in a private vehicle. He died sometime later. Officers arrested a 43-year-old woman in connection with the death, but won't release any further information as the investigation continues. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
We visited Alexandria, Minnesota a few summers ago. Great time. Lakes, fishing, all that. But this year, for the holidays, we wanted a winter vacation that was just as memorable, just as family-friendly, but with lights and snow, and this time, with our grandkids in tow. This holiday, it's Alexandria again. We're coming back to make new memories.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com. Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Sunny and cold today, with high temperatures only tapping the single digits and winds blustery, gusting up to 25 miles per hour, making our wind chills feel sub-zero all day long. And a few flurries fly around late with no accumulations expected. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 4.
Strong follow-through buying was the feature in the grain markets. Corn and wheat were solidly higher, but man, soybeans and bean meal led the price advance. Lean hogs also pushed higher on short covering, while the cattle complex closed lower under the weight of some profit-taking.
Live with follow-through from Friday via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Brian Doherty from Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. Later, Kerry Artak from Artak Advisory and WickedStocks.com. And directly following the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Yeah. Follow through from Friday. And Friday was a great day.
It was a good day.
And today... In a couple of the markets today made Friday look like a warm-up act.
Well, and, you know, you can make the case, a little latitude for gains, big moves on a report day to follow through here on Monday.
Yep.
That's something, isn't it?
Yep. Well, I think what that is Friday, whoa. Look at that. Something to be surprised about. They cut that corn and soybean national average yield deeper than what was expected. So you get that initial reaction. Today is more than a reaction. Today is, when you think about it and take this stuff to the bottom line, maybe it did change the fundamental outlook for these markets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's the conversation that we are going to have with Brian Doherty from Total Farm Marketing today. Looking forward to that conversation coming up here in just a little bit. I don't know if you heard the interview, the conversation that we had with Brett Waltz from BAMWX this morning or not, but boy, if you didn't hear it, give it a listen.
Yep.
We were just talking weather, and the more I think about it, the more that people need to get prepared for this one, because we've got some cold temperatures coming our way. And I mean, one of the biggest, coldest snaps, is that how you would say it?
One of the snappiest cold snaps.
Yes. In 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's comparing it to some conditions that we saw back in 2014. So.
Yep.
Heads up on this one. Yep. Get prepared for it. All right, let's go ahead and get to the markets. What you got, man?
Sure thing, Chip. Export inspections of wheat in the weekend of January 9 totaled nearly 289,000 metric tons, in line with trade expectations, and that keeps total wheat shipments on pace to get to USDA's export estimate. Strengthened the U.S. dollar again today, with the index about 200 points higher, capped buying interest in wheat futures. Traders are also watching the weather forecast, with a cold snap expected in many winter wheat areas beginning this weekend. March soft red winter wheat futures opened fractionally lower and near session lows, and then rallied to close near session highs and above resistance at Friday's high. March HRW wheat futures today 9¼ cents higher at 561. March soft red up 14¼ cents to 545. March spring wheat futures closed at 593.5. That's up 9¼ cents, Chip.
There was a little bit of movement in the conversation about just what level of wheat exports are going to be available out of the Black Sea region today, too. But you know how the market has been treating those headlines here recently. It just it barely gets the wheat market's attention anymore.
Well, Chip, export inspections of corn in the weekend of January 9 totaled 1.441 million metric tons, easily topping trade expectations. Corn shipments are running 26.5% ahead of the year-ago pace. That compares to USDA's forecast of just a 6.9% increase. Mm-hmm. The strong shipping pace helped March corn futures trade above 4.75 for the first time since June 20. Chart watchers are looking for a test of resistance at the June 14 high of 4.88. Traders noted the start of corn harvest in Brazil could increase hedge selling in the U.S. futures over the next few weeks. March corn futures today 6 cents higher, 4.76.5. May corn up 7¼ to 4.86¾. July corn futures closed at 4.90. That's up 8 cents, Chip.
Yeah, that 6.9% increase that USDA is forecasting includes the 25 million bushel pullback in the export estimate that we got last week. So it feels like USDA is going the wrong direction on that corn export number. We'll talk to Brian about it.
Export inspections of soybeans weekend at Jan 9 totaled 1.35 million metric tons. That was in line with trade expectations. Bean shipments are 22.4% ahead of year ago. Compares to USDA's estimate that bean exports will increase just 7.7% from year ago. USDA this morning also announced the sale of 198,000 metric tons of U.S. soybeans for delivery to China in the current marketing year. Soybean harvest in central Brazil just getting started. Recent rain with more on the forecast will likely make for a slow start to this year's harvest. March beans opened slightly lower and on session lows and rallied to trade at 10.50 for the first time since November 11. March beans 27¾ cents higher at 10.53. May beans up 28.5, 10.66.5. July beans closed at 10.78, up 28¼ cents. Chip, don't stop soybeaning, am I right?
No, that's exactly right. Help from the product markets today, too. March bean meal up $9.50, $307.80. And March bean oil up 41 points to $45.99.
Well, March cotton was 63 points higher on the day. It's 67.64. On your livestock's profit-taking, pulled live and feeder cattle futures lower. Feb live cattle opened a tick lower and on session highs and fell to close just below support at Friday's low and on the low of the day. February fat cattle $1.37½ lower at 197.40. March feeders down $1.50, 267.90. Lean hog futures posted a fourth consecutive higher close. Feb lean hog futures 62.5 higher today, 83.17½. Chip, over to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Hey, Jack, how's it going?
It's going great. Much appreciating this recovery in futures, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's brought on some new buying and new selling that we haven't seen in a while, so it's good news.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about that new buying first. What exactly are we talking about? The funds getting even longer in corn?
Apparently so. I participated mostly as a seller because I was dealing mostly with my farm clients today. But my spec clients were buying. And I think that carried through to a lot of spec and probably the funds as well. So I think it was mostly speculative buying against farm-oriented, some commercial selling surfaced out of Brazil for me. So it was a nice day.
Yeah. Yeah, well, You know, and if we are seeing some increased selling in by U.S. farmers, that's sticking to a plan. And basically, the plan is if we could get March corn back to 475, we need to make some sales, and here we are.
Yeah, well, and that's what I've been. That's what I was reminding a lot of my clients of of that fact. And you know, here we are. We're 2 days hard up. In the beans and the corn, and maybe we get a third, but maybe not, you know. And so I was pretty happy to get some sales on the book.
How do you like the momentum that we've got right now? I mean, does it feel like we could get a third?
Yeah, it does. It closed pretty strong here, and the volumes were good. So I think there is a chance for a third, but I don't know that we can go much beyond that at the end of the day. We're still going to have a lot of corn and soybeans to get rid of, and so will South America. So the upside does appear limited from here.
Okay. All right. Well, Jack, let's stick to the plans here and get some profits made. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Thank you.
You bet. Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Up next, Brian Doherty, Total Farm Marketing here on AgriTalk.
Help maximize your yield potential and savings with 0% financing on leading fungicides from BASF. You can't beat 0%, especially when you could save big on consistent performing fungicides like Revilock fungicide and Veltima fungicide until March 15th, 2025. 0% financing means keeping more in your wallet for better ROI. Talk to your BASF retailer today about the Grower Finance Program. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions. See BASF Grower Finance Program for details. Always read and follow label directions.
Mark your calendars now for Total Acres 2025 Grower Clinic. Join the Total Acre team for 3 great days of learning and networking, January 19th to the 21st at the family-friendly Renaissance Orlando at SeaWorld. With more than 20 immersive breakout sessions and an extensive trade show, it's your chance to network with other Total Acre members from 23 states and Canada. Head online to growbigcrops.com/growerclinic registration today to register.
Elevate your game and set your sights on Denver for the 2025 Commodity Classic. With technology that moves faster than fluctuating markets and information as important as $1 million rain, Commodity Classic is designed for growers of all kinds, where you'll broaden your horizons as you improve yield and ROI one bushel at a time. Take your operation to new heights and join us for Elevating Excellence in Agriculture, March 2nd through 4th in Denver. Learn more at CommodityClassic.com.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Day one.
As Security Financial Bank, we understand what it takes to grow what matters. We know success doesn't happen overnight. It takes honest work, day in and day out. We value trust, leadership, and service. We are SFB. Bankers who believe in your business, your family, your future. Bankers who believe in you. Learn more at sfbank.com. Member FDIC.
The Amplify Health Mondovi Clinic is here for all your primary care needs. From annual visits and sports physicals to new or chronic conditions, our compassionate team looks forward to caring for you during all stages of life. For your convenience, we offer on-site lab, same-day appointments, physical therapy, and more services to come. Call the Amplify Health Mondovi Clinic to schedule your appointment at 715-926-1113.
54572.
Hey. Oh. AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, simplifying land loans to help family farms build a stronger financial future. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
Fired up for the week on AgriTalk now, mama.
Ladies. I was going to say, you're a little fired up on that one, bud.
Very fired up.
Very fired up.
I sang over my own voice.
Sounding great.
I feel good. feel good. You know, Kansas fired me up, baby.
Oh, man.
Kansas. Yeah.
You loved it. Loved that trip over there. Yeah.
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. Welcome back. I'm Chip. That is Davis. Let's get to the conversation right now. Brian Doherty, Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. Brian, Happy New Year, man. It's good to talk to you.
Happy New Year, Chip. Great to be back, and thank you for inviting me on the show. Let's go.
You bet. You bet. Let's go is right. Talk to me about the last couple of days of grain trade. How's it make you feel? What do you see? What's it telling you?
Yeah, really interesting. So there's been a few things sort of bubbling under the surface for some time, and then you got to gauge that movement in the market. Now, specifically, I'll address corn. Corn bottomed into August, right? And so it started making an up move, set back, up move. So you did have a series of higher highs and higher lows on the charts, but you also had a series of supportive USDA reports along the way, particularly in December when they raised the usage of ethanol and exports more than anticipated. So that kept the uptrend intact at a time when, you know, there wasn't a lot of movement in the marketplace. You look back, though, and you get back into that August-September time window. What happens in a marketplace is corn was an outstanding value to the end user. So as I talk to producers, both farmer who produces corn and farmer who buys corn, they were two different conversations. One conversation was, look, this is a real bargain, a real value for you. How much cheaper do you think corn can get? Why are you not buying aggressively? If I hired you to buy for my feedlot and I found out in summer you're paying $5 or $6 for corn because you didn't think it was going to get dry, you might be looking for a different job. You had a really good value. On the other hand, for the producer's sake, you know, that's a time to be patient. I know it's hard, but and I know you need to move some. And we had that all fall. We had farmers moving some out, corn bins, doing these kind of things, but not really laying in big sales until we got to about 50% recovery from the spring high to the fall low. And that in March corn was around 455. And then you get a report that's very supportive, really kind of knocked the teeth out of the production number. That's a big change in carryout, 276 million drop in production. That's pretty significant, 200 million bushels in carryout. My rule of thumb is if it's between 100 and 200 million bushels, it will have meaning on supply and demand. It did. You get a bust through resistance. You get short covering. You get new buying. You get farmers selling. But you also get that speculator in there wanting to jump on board as well. Look at cattle. Look at some of these other markets. The money flow has been into corn as it has been in some of these others. And now it's just a matter to see if it actually flows into beans and wheat. I wouldn't be surprised if it's flowing more less negative in beans. They were short over 100,000 contracts in the last commitment of traders. But corn, it's estimated about 200, just under 270,000 contracts long. Contrast that with midsummer, probably 250-ish thousand short.
Sure.
That's a lot of contracts to switch.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Has the market given you enough with that 500,000 contract change in position, or should have we expected even more?
Well, the scary part is that's a lot of longs in a window where you really don't have what I'd call a full-fledged weather market. You're entering a couple of weather markets in the next half a year, southern hemisphere, northern hemisphere, and you've got some disruption in Argentina, maybe southwest Brazil. Not enough, I think, to really sink your teeth in. So the concerning part is if the funds just decide that they're done or the managed money, that might quickly weigh in the market. But right now, we've seen the managed money coming in buy and absorb, I think, a significant amount of farmer selling for this time of year, more so than we typically see because of cash flow needs and sales that weren't made last year because it was just the opposite. We were seeing negative reports last year. The trend was down. And farmers, rightly so, were not very anxious or encouraged to sell new crop corn. So my buyers told me they went into this fall with the least amount of corn they've ever had on the books. And all of a sudden, we get a rally. So farmers are selling, but the managed money, that is the funds, seem to be absorbing this. So what's really, is there a bigger story? Or did they just buy a bunch of value, making some money, adding to positions, creating some short covering? It could be that. But you got to wonder maybe if you know, they didn't sniff. And I won't say I was that bullish, but I thought we might be down a bushel, maybe two in yield.
Yeah.
But that was a big change. So,
oh, yeah.
So I think at this price, you can still argue it's a value if the Southern Hemisphere doesn't come through now with big production or big supplies. And remember, the crops have to be produced there. And there's this theory that I'm going to throw out there that I have, and that is that global climate change has been great for production agriculture. Look at the crops we produce throughout the world, but it's only good until it isn't good.
Right.
And when it snake bites the market, all of a sudden corn with a four in front of it might look really cheap.
Yep. Okay. All right. Okay. The yields. The 179.3 for a national average corn yield is still a record by 2 bushels per acre. That's a big number, But it's a long ways from the 183.1. It's below trend line. And to me, you know, and then you get the 51 bushel per acre on beans. Is that what it was? 50.7.
Yeah.
Down from 51.7 in the November crop production report. So I know that those aren't catastrophe yields. And it's a record yield in corn. I get it. But we've been talking about how the corn and soybean markets were going to require a quote-unquote production problem to fix the outlooks on for price. Did we already have it, Brian? What was 24 a production problem? It would just took us this long to figure it out?
It's a great question, and I'm going to say maybe, which is not a very strong answer. But when you look at, to your point, you look at these high-yield crops, and all of a sudden you get a rally in front of high-yield crops, right? So everything's relative to something, right? So you figure out that, 420 March corn or 410 March corn, that's too low relative to a yield under 180, but was sufficient for a yield at 183.5 or 184. So perception's a big deal. It's still a lot of crops, still a lot of carryout, and something that the market has to contend with. But I liken it to this, that when you start reducing carryout, and everything boils down to carryout. Remember, there's a big funnel out there. Right. You throw all your supply and demand in, carryout comes out of the bottom. So when the trend of carryout is smaller, you generally are going to have an inverse relationship with price. The price is relative to the supply. So $4 corn at 2 billion bushels seemed to be a fair enough-ish price, give or take 25 cents. I'm talking board price now.
Yep.
And all of a sudden you start to change that equation, and you go from 2 billion now to 1.57. Where are we at here? U.S. carry at 1.40. That's a big percentage change, and it changes the perception. Yeah. So the market retraces and went up to the 50% level of the retracement from the spring high to fall low, and then it stalled out for a week and a half. Then it got a bullish report. But I got to wonder if the funds aren't buying, thinking or concerning themselves that maybe there's a little more to the story out of the Southern Hemisphere, that they're betting the crop may not be as good as it's been the last couple of years. And it's been a good bet, and I get the tillage and genetics and all those things, but you still got to produce. So right now, it's providing a strong opportunity for farmers to make catch-up sales, get to where they want. It's better income flow. They got a pay raise. You want to keep it. I'm all about, though, how do you stay on board? What if the South American, that's the other shoe, what if that or the U.S. does have some weather events? How quickly the bigger picture might change again? So you don't want to be selling all this corn in the mid-fours or lower, and then all of a sudden find out we're in the mid-fives or higher. Yeah. So how do we balance that? And that'd be my message to producers, to really think about balancing. We got to reward the market, but at the same time, you got something kind of special going on here.
Right. I want to talk about that more. But for a chunk of producers, Brian, just over the last month, we've seen corn go from a negative business enterprise to a positive business enterprise in the matter of a month, haven't we?
For most, we probably have. And so that in an environment where you still have a big carryout and big production estimates out of the Southern Hemisphere until those change, I think you have to reward the market. But that gets back to this balancing act of how do we reward, how do we stay on board? Yep. Things are changing, okay. And if they continue to change, so will the price.
Okay, I want to talk about that. What's next? How do we keep the strategy, the risk? How do we keep it in balance going forward? We're in the middle of a conversation with Brian Doherty from Total Farm Marketing here on AgriTalk.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes. Where March HRW wheat futures were 9¼ cents higher at 561. March SRW up 14¼ cents to 545. March corn futures were 6 cents higher at 476.5. July corn futures closed at 490. That's up 8 cents. March soybean futures 27¾ cents higher at 1053. May beans up 28½ cents to 1066.5. March cotton 63 points higher, 67.64. On your livestock, February fat cattle were $1.37½ lower at 197.40. March feeders down $1.50 to 267.90. And February lean hog futures 62½ cents higher at 83.17½. Get more market news every market day. Just visit tryprofarmer.com.
Scammers often...
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Not everyone can fix their own car. Or a leaky pipe. So what do? Call an expert. And if daily finances for you or a family member have become too much of a burden, call Rhonda at Numbers R Us. Whether it's an older loved one, member of the military, or just someone who's too busy or constantly on the road, daily money management from Numbers R Us takes care of all the bills, deposits, and payments, and avoids fees, family conflict, and fraud. Contact Rhonda at NumbersRUs.com.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Sunny and cold today, with high temperatures only tapping the single digits and winds blustery, gusting up to 25 miles per hour, making our wind chills feel sub-zero all day long. And a few flurries fly around late with no accumulations expected. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's four.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Welcome back. We are in the middle of a conversation with Brian Doherty, Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. Brian, we talked a lot about the supply side. We didn't talk a lot about the demand side there in the last segment. I don't like the changes that USDA made on the corn balance sheet on the demand side, taking $50 million off the feed and residual and taking $25 million off the exports. I mean, I understand that they probably felt the need to do that, but the corn carryover could have been a 147 instead of this 154 that we've got pretty doggone easy, couldn't have it?
Yeah, so there's always this talk, well, are they trying to keep it in check or what have you? I don't know if there's any kind of thought process to that. Perhaps more of a theory that, look, as price goes up, you're going to have less demand. So economics 101, higher price equals less quantity demand. I think there's some wiggle room there. If you take that down, the 75 million bushels that was lost, 50 out of the feed usage and then 25 out of the exports, and maybe they're taking into account the dollar as strong as it is, but you bring your stocks to usage under 10, that's pretty supportive for the market. Mm-hmm. Right now, if I did the math right, 10.1. So it's a supportive number, but it's not what I call a bullish number. You need another kick in there. You need something else. But I liken it to this. What's happened in the corn market over the last several months is you've done two things with the information. The market's done two things. One is it brings up the bottom side. So as you were heading into fall, they're talking about all this big yield and high yield, that, boy, maybe we see the board under $4 to $3.50 in that range down to $3.50. That didn't happen. What you're doing is you're raising the lower end up, you're creating a higher sensitivity to the market, thus the big push higher the last few days, and you're pushing the spring down, and so the spring is getting a little bit more compressed so that if something else does come along, it doesn't take long to react, and you get a reaction actually at a higher price than you do at a lower price. What's kept the market in check, actually, and I think they lowered that 75 million bushels, is just the significant amount of farmers selling. Now, I don't know if farmers have sold a lot of corn, but I know a lot of farmers who have sold some corn. Okay. This is time to reward and trickle this out. So you've got an army of farmers out there selling corn, and yet the fund money, at least the last couple of days, have just it's absorbed it. So that's pretty impressive. I don't know if that answers the question, if I got off topic, but it is something that the USDA, especially in feed, took it down, because when you look at the carcass weights on the cattle, hog slaughter numbers, I'm kind of wondering why the feed. Before the report, I said, well, I don't think they'll lower exports or ethanol. They might increase feed usage 25 million. Well, so my guess was it was off. They lowered it 50 million. So that might be something underneath this market that's still there, but it'll surface back later. Yeah. And then you got to wonder, too, just real quick, both beans and corn. What happened in August? Things dried down pretty fast. It really showed up quickly, I think, in the bean harvest. Not so much in the corn harvest, but it did the second half of harvest in particular, where the harvested moisture content went down so rapidly that maybe the USDA took a little bit of a, you know, they plugged that into the yield number and reduced yield for that. I'm not sure. That usually shows up in a quarterly stocks number somewhere. Yeah.
Well, you know, we can't forget that we got a quarterly stocks report in this report. So some of the crop that's held in commercial storage, you know, that's all scaled. That may have had some kind of an impact, just simply because they didn't weigh as much water in this year's crop as what they normally would. So,
It did. Yeah. I mean, there is a little, I think it was 70 million bushels, but it's a number that may surface again somewhere as well. So you got to feed the bull. These were things to feed the bull. Now the bull needs something else. So in sort of the anatomy of a rally, we're at a point where we've seen the short covering, we've seen the end user buying, we've seen the speculative buying, and then we get another round of short covering here this week, or Friday and this week. So what's the next thing? So it'll need something, I think, to feed the bull. We've gotten up to probably an equilibrium price where a carryout around 1.5 doesn't unfortunately probably warrant much of a rally to $5 or beyond. So maybe we can get up to $5, but it's going to take some real strong something or perceptive weather concern in the southern hemisphere. Maybe that's enough with Argentina right now and the southwest Brazil and the dry side.
Okay. So what kind of price action would make you more aggressive with selling at this point. And I don't care if it's up or down. It's just what would make you more aggressive.
So if we go back to a year ago, we had two chart formations. We had higher prices, but we had a head and shoulders formation, which I like, with a bearish key reversal at the very top of the market in May. And then we had a larger head and shoulders formation that formed the right side, and then the market fell apart in June. It fell apart quick. You know me, I always talked about how fast the market falls apart. Mm-hmm. Part of that's technical. Everybody sees that formation, those where they want to put their stops or where it looks weak. Right now, we've had this kind of strong push here. So I think we've got a potential to retrace back to the right shoulder on the March contract. So that's going to put corn in that 485 area. So look for in there. That's would be my next target for sales. We had a high of 487 back on June 13th and 488 on the 14th. And that's what I would look for there. If the market comes back down and closes under the 50% retracement, that's 455, I would like to know why. And if it looks like the weather's improving in South America, I'm there again stepping up sales.
Okay. So let's take the other side of that. What kind of price action would you see that would make you more conservative? That would make you say, you know what, it's okay to wait for just a bit here.
Yeah, conservative and waiting, right? So yes. we've got something here that's already come into play. But where I get a little bit more conservative is if I'm talking to a producer. So I'm going to assume that we're talking to a farmer here.
Yeah.
If you've got no sales on the books, you don't want to let this slip between your hands, right? So I don't think conservative comes into play. I think you get enough sales to the point where you can reward this rally and keep your paycheck.
Okay.
But if you're, let's say, 50% plus sold, I think if we saw a push back above the spring high, now I'm going to use March corn, that's 508. You get a push above there, there's something big going on. And that would probably have to take carryout down another 100 million. I think that would come in the form of expectations for losses out of the Southern Hemisphere. And then the USDA pushing back in some of these demand numbers, which might be a little hard to come by initially, but the market will sniff that out, probably be ahead of the USDA.
Okay. All right. What does the conversation sound like with corn buyers right now? Because I know you deal with both. You've got your grain producers, and then you got your feeders out there.
Right. So when corn was lower, the conversation was, buy what you need and buy 6 months to a year's worth. And if people would push back and say, well, what if it goes lower? And I'd say, then you buy more. That's your job, to continue to buy inputs at low prices and below the cost of production. It's a bar. That's my definition of a bargain. If you can buy something for less than the cost to produce, that's a bargain. Bargains don't last forever. On the other hand, where we are right now, I would shift gears and say, okay, buy as needed, but then I also want you to buy some out-of-the-money calls. Doesn't have to be a lot of the money, but we need some safety valve. You're entering into key weather periods. October, November, December, we're not key weather periods in the Southern Hemisphere. We respect the weather and maybe the trends, but this is where this is where the rubber hits the road. Weather is everything. It's just like 1st of July down there right now. 1st of July, we got another 30 days, 45 days of really critical weather. So you don't want to get caught not being covered. I think you cover yourself now with call options and paper and don't necessarily chase the cash at the moment.
Okay. All right. Man, good stuff, Brian. I'm going to switch gears on you. Do you like that snapback that we got in Class 3 milk today?
Yeah, what a volatile market, and a good market, and a market that's really fluctuating. You look at the cattle complex and how that's just been on fire. Now it flipped over today, but good strong gains in the milk market, trading $20 plus on the first quarter here again. Good numbers there. Deferred months are tepid, though. They just don't want to get above that $20 area. And I think what they're concerned about for the moment, and I'm starting to hear cheese supplies could be getting a little bit on the heavier side. I'm hearing that, but I think they're also concerned that and maybe I share this too. If you look at the way you know, we got a new administration coming in, and you look at the way the stock market's been, there's just a lot of tepidness out there that we can't keep up this kind of end user buying or demand in the consumer retail sector. And I think that's why you've got those deferred months as tepid, where the bulls will come out of the woodwork and they'll say, well, look, beef prices and heifer prices, they're too high. They're just, it's an odd economic environment in the live cattle and in the dairy, where how long do you hang on to something that's bird in hand? Cow calf producers, why hold a heifer back when you can get this cash in hand? And it's a, you know, high prices cure high prices. I think we're in one of those anomalies where high prices are not necessarily curing high prices.
Man, it is historic what we're seeing in this in the cattle trade, Brian. I don't know how else to describe it. It's a market performing like we've never seen this kind of a performance out of a market.
And you got to wonder if it runs out of gas, and when it does, it could be violent. So, you know, always be prepared for scenarios would be my message to producers. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would forward sell with cash where it is on the board. I think I would pick up some puts, maybe buy a put, sell a call, and be willing to accept the hedge higher. But this market has something special to it, and that's continued tight supplies and good demand. Demand from the side of the economy of people that maybe it doesn't matter what beef price is, they're going to buy it.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's very amazing. Brian, I love these conversations with you, man. Thank you for making time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, Brian Doherty, Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. All right, we've got Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory, and Wicked Stops next.
Farming.
Hey, you. I knew I'd find you back in the same aisle. What are you looking for today? More fiber? More laxatives? More of the same ways to manage your constipation? Look, if your constipation with belly pain keeps coming back, you may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Ask your doctor how Linzess can help you get ahead of it.
Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Do you hide your business from your customers? Of course not. But if you're not marketing your business on the internet, you're not only hidden from your potential customers, well, you don't exist at all. Top Dog Promotions should be your choice for creating a website at a price you can afford, and you don't have to wait days or weeks for changes or updates to your site. Top Dog Promotions prides itself on prompt service and will work within your budget. They'll work closely on getting results with your website. Real Country 1430 WRDN chose Top Dog Promotions for its new website, and your business should too. More info at topdogpromotions.net and see the websites created for businesses like Real Country 1430 WRDN. Top Dog Promotions can assess your business's marketing efforts and create an advertising strategy that helps you get a better return on your marketing dollar. For a free business assessment, contact Top Dog Promotions at 608-769-9910 or topdogpromotions.net.
It's the power to make your fields come alive, to make your farm prosper, to help your operation thrive. That's why FBN Finance gives you more. With experienced loan advisors, often farmers themselves, and great land loan rates shared daily. Don't just borrow money, borrow more at fbn.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners. NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
Mark your calendars now for Total Acres 2025 Grower Clinic. Join the Total Acre team for 3 great days of learning and networking. January 19th to the 21st at the family-friendly Renaissance Orlando at SeaWorld. With more than 20 immersive breakout sessions and an extensive trade show, it's your chance to network with other Total Acre members from 23 states and Canada. Head online to growbigcrops.com/growerclinic registration today to register.
Markets in Music City. It has a nice ring to it. That's why we want you to meet us in Nashville for the AgMarket.net Farm and Co-Profit Not Price Conference, February 2nd and 3rd at the Renaissance Nashville Hotel, with presentations geared toward risk management, a market outlook, technical analysis, and more, all while socializing some of the top analysts and producers around the country just steps from Broadway. Give us a call to register at 844-4-AG-MRKT or head to AgMarket.net. There's a risk of loss in trading futures and or options.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us. Great conversation that we just wrapped up there with Brian Doherty from Total Farm Marketing. Lots of things to think about in that convo. It's time for a chart update, our weekly chart update from Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory and WickedStocks.com. Hey, Kerry, what's going on, man?
Hey, Chip. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good, good. Guys, don't forget, you can go to Artak Advisory, that's A-R-T-A-C, advisory.com, and get a free trial of what Kerry is doing on the commodity side. And if you are interested in taking a look at Kerry's work on the equity side of the market, go ahead and go to wickedstocks.com and get signed up for a free trial there. All right, Kerry, get us started here with March corn.
Yeah, March corn. We've been last few weeks until last Friday, late last week, we've been trading around this significant pivot point for the broader corn futures market. March contract now represents that on the weekly chart. And it's around 450 even this week, dropping ever so slightly. It's a 16-month channel top. We topped out there about a month and a half ago, backed away. But last week, we closed above it. We cleared it by a full 1% margin. And so that set off a buy signal late last week that I'm expecting to yield. It's a three-year descending channel top that is actually, it really sort of encapsulates all the activity from that April 22 high. So nearly three-year bear market remains technically intact below a formation at 555 even this week. And, you know, my subscribers can see this channel structure day to day, week to week. It is dropping. So I do see it as an objective. I'm calling it a 3 to 5 month objective. It's a easier lift than it might seem because 555 is dropping into like the 515 area by the early part of June. So it really is only kind of a 510s, if you will, 3 to 5 month objective, but it's a realistic one. And I think it's likely. I think we'll see, you know, 510, 520 perhaps as we move into May, June, where we actually could top out through the rest of the year because the longer term 3 year trend remains bearish. Below 555 even, dropping weekly. Now, downside, if we close back below 450 even, I think we actually have a good winter high. And we should, within a matter of, you know, 3 to 5 weeks or so, say by the end of February, fall into the lower 420s. 420 even is a level that could contain monthly selling pressures. And, you know, that's a long time, actually. As we move into spring, we could come off of that nicely and facts in the ground could change. But I will say at this point, bullish above 450 into spring, and then we turn decidedly bearish below 420 as we move into spring-summer trade. We could see much lower price activity. On to February live cattle. The live cattle, feeder cattle markets both posted long-term buy signals. Well, live cattle did. Feeder cattle is hesitating right now, I should say. Let me back up a little bit on that. Live cattle posted a big buy signal last week. First off, we're trading 197.40 now, Feb contract. That is the lead contract on the weekly chart. So we closed above the September 23 high of 192.05. We also closed above a one-year rising channel top on that weekly chart at 193.05. So that is our base of support. And honestly, above which, not only am I expecting 203 even as we continue through February trade, but really the low 220s, 221.70, I think a realistic summer high perhaps on the way up. Once again, 203 even could contain monthly buying pressures. And if we close above 203 even over the next few weeks with present volatility, that's a real possibility. Closing above 203 even, price acceleration, and I would expect within 3 to 5 months of doing so, that 221.70 level, which remains kind of a 2025 objective. 221.70 now, I think, a realistic objective. Downside, though, if we close the week, any week, back below 192.05, that is a failed long-term buy signal. In essence, a valid sign of weakness as we continue into spring-summer trade. Over the following 3 to 5 months, I would anticipate 179 even, which is back to those August-September lows of last year, only if we close the week below 192.05. And finally, wickedstocks.com. I'm providing analysis right now in the triple Q today. That is the NASDAQ 100 ETF, one of the more actively traded stock entities in the world, and it's a great instrument to trade if you want to take advantage of the NASDAQ 100 movement in the high-tech sector. It actually posted what I would call a long-term buy signal rejection. So, you know, about 6 weeks ago, we closed above a five-year channel top that had held the July highs. We closed above it about 5-6 weeks ago, and that set off an indication for longer-term bullish continuation through 25. I had all these higher price points pegged, but the market rejected it last week by a couple of measures, and that remains in effect below 517 even. We're trading right around 504 even. So any upward retracements into the kind of the mid 510s, 515, 517 should be considered sell opportunities as we move through the rest of the first quarter. I see a 460 even likely over the next 2 to 3 months. So that's, you know, just under kind of about an 8% break from where we are now. So a healthy sell-off, I think, is likely as we move into February, March. We could bottom out at 460 even into the second quarter, and from there round up. Now, if we close back above 517 even, and I don't see that this week, but it is possible over the next few weeks, then that all neutralizes and we're back to anticipating 570 even within 2 to 3 months. But for right now, I think the NASDAQ 100 on its heels, on the defensive, likely to fall into the 460s over the next 2 to 3 months. And that's really all I have, Chip.
Well, that's a lot right there. Good stuff, Kerry. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you, sir. You have a great day.
You bet. Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory, and wickedstocks.com. All right. Well, if you heard this morning's show with Brett Waltz from BAMWX.com, then I don't think that the updates to the National Weather Service outlooks are going to be much of a surprise to you. But 6 to 10 day outlook, this is for January 19th through the 23rd, has above normal temperatures over most of the country. The exception is the far west coast. And there was a day where instead of saying we had higher probabilities for below normal temperatures, we would say much below normal temperatures on this kind of a forecast. But high probability of below normal temperatures in the 6 to 10 day. Near normal to below normal precipitation also expected across the Corn Belt. Still got below normal temperatures in the 8 to 14 day. That's for January 21st through the 27th, with the below normal to near normal on the precipitation as well. All right, we're off and running this week. Come back tomorrow morning. We're going to have a conversation with Greg Tilka from Iowa State University. Tomorrow afternoon, Mark Welch from Texas A&M here on AgriTalk.
The next disaster is coming. The time to get ready is now. Make a plan. Identify meetup locations and people you'll need to contact. Put your contact list in your wallet, on your phone, and somewhere visible in your home. Build a kit. Store enough food and water for 3 days. Don't forget your pets. And consider buying a pre-made kit. Keep at least 7 days of medication on hand. Work with your pharmacist and insurance company to secure the extra doses. Make copies of important documents. Keep them on your phone, in the cloud, or on a USB stick. Stay informed. Learn about local hazards. Take courses in CPR and first aid. And sign up for local alert systems. An early warning can give you the time you need to prepare for a fast-moving disaster. Be ready. Learn more at americares.org/sendusin.
Babes, what are you doing?
What? I'm just mowing the lawn.
No, it's blazing hot and dry out here. Don't you remember? Smokey Bear says,
avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry.
Where'd you learn this?
Oh, it's on
SmokeyBear.com with many other wildfire prevention tips.
Right. Thanks, Honey Bear.
Because remember, only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Staples.
I am so pumped. My business is going to kill it this year.
Awesome. How can I help?
First, a new computer.
With Staples Home and Office Hot Deals, you save big on tech.
And new posters.
Save on custom printing, too.
And
A new chair?
A chair? Who has time to sit?
Maybe all your new clients?
Now you're talking.
With Staples Home and Office Hot Deals, you'll find huge savings on custom prints, storage, chairs, and tech. And now save up to $175 off your print order. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details. Ends 2-1.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A Gaza ceasefire and hostage release deal could be closer than ever in the 15-month war between Israel and Hamas. The Biden administration signaling that brokered talks are progressing. President